have it open to the chapter we read earlier in the Gospel of John in chapter 3. Have been looking for most of this year, with the exceptions of events like last week when we had Trevor Baker from the Albanian Evangelical Mission come and speak to us about the work of the Gospel in Albania. We've been looking at various characters from the Bible. We've been looking at these people in order to learn something for our benefit. Sometimes we've been looking at them and saying, well, they did well there. That's something perhaps we should seek to do as well. Sometimes we said, well, they weren't made the right P0 of that, didn't they? And we can see why they made a P0 of it. So there's something we should seek to do. In order that we can say, ha ha ha, look at the mess they made. Because you can almost guarantee we can do that. But tomorrow, or next week, next month, next year, you're going to make as big a booty as they made, and then everybody else will turn around and say, oh, look at them. You wouldn't want that, would you? It is not to crow, to gloat, it's to learn that we might be better people. Now we have in this chapter before us a man called Nicodemus. We're told right at the beginning, Nicodemus, and the Pharisees have down through the centuries got very bad press. Talk today about a Pharisee, we speak about someone who's self-righteous. I think what a wonderful person they are. But all of you lot, not sure I should even come into contact with you. That's the attitude of the Pharisee. He thinks he's better than everybody else. Well, while this is in part true, that was certainly the case with many Pharisees. Not all Pharisees were like that. And reading this passage, I don't get the impression that Nicodemus was this kind of Pharisee. The Pharisees arose a few hundred years before Christ, and they were concerned to do what God had said. They had learned from all the disasters that had befallen the nation over the centuries that all these bad things had happened because they rebelled against God. And God had punished them. So therefore, to avoid all these things being repeated in the future, they would make sure that they did what God said. So they went to their Bibles and they started saying, right, now it says, on the Sabbath day, which is of course a Saturday, on the Sabbath day you shall do no work. Right, well, what is work? And so they started drawing up lots of rules and regulations as to what was and wasn't work. They would have got to the passage in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19, which says, you shall not wear clothing made of mixed fibre. And they would have said, right, now what constitutes mixed fibre? Now, does it mean polyester and cotton? Does it mean, is excluded? Does it mean you can have part cotton, part genetically modified cotton, or would that be constitute mixed fibre? And they would go right down to the detail. In fact, they were so concerned about this that they couldn't see the big picture. They couldn't see the wood for the tree. They were looking at the trees and they couldn't see that there's a wood or a forest. They were so concerned about the little tiny things. And so over the years it developed and they built up all these rules and regulations. How far you were allowed to walk on the Sabbath day, and all that. You can read many of the things that they did and said in the pages of the Gospels. And some of them followed these rules in all good conscience, thinking by doing these things, God will be pleased with me. Some of them just did them because, well, it made them feel superior to everybody else. And it's more in this sense that the term Pharisee is used today. But some of them weren't as bad
as we think. Nicodemus was not as bad as the rest of the Pharisees. Nicodemus was concerned about truth, and he was concerned about righteousness. Now, he thought that by keeping the rules, by obeying the law, that would make him acceptable to God. Now, that's not that unusual. I expect most of us either do or have in the past thought that if we do what is right, and if we try and be good, then when we stand before God to give an account of our lives, God will say, well, you tried your best. So that's okay. Here's the door of peace. And it's only really nice when God will doing right, be good, last day, be accepted by God, and so therefore, by carrying on being good, he's okay. So he comes to see Jesus because he's heard about Jesus, so some of the things he's doing is so, and so that's how he's doing his son. So he comes to him, but notice he comes by night, so he's clearly afraid of other people. What other people think. So he comes to Jesus by night. Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs you do and that's God will do. So what does Jesus say? Well, you're quite right, Jesus. I'm very pleased that you recognize that fact. Jesus doesn't do that. Not that someone is prepared to be paid without the Bible. There is in fact not a lot of conversation before we get to the next verse. And this is Jesus knew what was in our hearts. Jesus knew what was in our born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You're concerned about the kingdom of God, you want to go there, you want to be accepted by God at the last day when you stand before God to give an account. Well, Nicodemus, if you carry on as you are, if you carry on trying to be good and doing what is right, you won't make it. You won't get there. Being good is not enough. What you need is to be born again. Now, unfortunately, here is a word, or here is a phrase, which has been bandied around so much that it's almost completely lost the meaning it has here. And this often happens. We use the word let quite frequently. And today it means to allow. To allow someone to do something, you let them do it. But 300 or 400 years ago, if you let someone, that meant you stopped them doing it. it's changed its meaning completely. Now, I'm sure the younger ones amongst us, if I was to tell you that someone was wicked, you think, oh, that's wonderful. But the older ones amongst us would say, oh, that's dreadful. Here's a word that is now being used in the complete opposite sense of what it originally meant and what it means in the dictionary. Be wicked means to be really, really bad. But now, the young people are using it for really, really good. So it makes communication very difficult. And I can see the way things are going, particularly with the recent government meetings with the editors of the girls' magazines. But the word fat is in fact going to mean kid. And most won't know what we're talking about anymore. We'll say to someone, well, you can eat this food and it will make you fat. And, well, do I want to be... Well, what do I want to be? Going on a diet. Let's see how I get on. Words, phrases change their meaning. The word born again is banded around to such a degree that it's pretty lost. There was an advert some years ago for the new Volkswagen Golf. The advert was a born again Golf. Is that what Jesus was talking about? No, it didn't. No, that would be bizarre. It's not what Jesus is talking about. What Jesus is talking about is something different. And it's something so different from what was the experience of anybody at the time that Nicodemus says, I don't understand what on earth you're talking about. What do you mean? Nicodemus says to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Jessica's recently been born. Peter's been born. Now, if he's going to be born again, does that mean that somehow he's going to be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He's not talking about a literal birth. He's not talking about returning into your mother's womb or anyone's womb and being physically born a second time. He's talking about something spiritual. He's talking about something that happens internally. He's talking about a change that takes place in the heart, a change that takes place as a result of God working in the heart. One thing that you'll notice, I'm saying this to Jill and Steve in particular, but it applies to us all. Whatever you teach her, there's one thing you won't have to teach her, which she will display. You'll never have to teach her to be naughty. And all those of us who are parents know, you never have to teach your children to be naughty, it comes naturally. And that's why there are problems in the world, because human nature is naughty. Human nature is bad. And that's why we will never have total harmony in the world, because of human nature. Actually, there is one way in which you can have complete harmony in the world. You kill everyone. Get rid of the whole human race, and there would be no problems in the world. But you leave one human being behind, and the world's got problems because of human nature. It's true of every single one of us is there from the moment of birth. And we are responsible to God for the way we live. And it is possible for each one of us to be as bad as the worst possible person you can think of. That's within the heart of each one of us. And it's possible for us to be as good as the best person we can think of, with one exception. And that exception is Jesus Christ, because he was perfect. But none of us are perfect. And that's sad. But we're bad. And that's why, if we're going to be good enough for God, it's not by our efforts that we're going to achieve it. It's a result of a second spiritual birth. Now, this doesn't mean that you start eating lentils and carrot juice. It doesn't mean that you start wearing weird clothes. It doesn't mean that you start going, and being all peculiar. Because the only time you'll ever see me waving my arms in the air is when I'm talking about things like that. Now, we're not talking about anything like that. We're talking about a change in the heart that affects all your motivations, all your desires, which then will work their way out in the way in which you live. There are people here who could, if they wanted to, but they probably don't, tell you what they were like before they were born again. Tell you about their identity. I can tell you now that I would not have wanted to know you for you. I would not have wanted to know you. Actually, I don't have to. If you were a question, I'd find a way to travel back. I wouldn't want to know you. There are other people, they say the same. It doesn't mean that they were mini Hitlers and they wanted to go around killing everybody. This means that they weren't good. They weren't seeking to do what was right. They were seeking to do what was right. Being born again, it isn't about becoming religious. Now, here we are in this situation. We have to do that. First, people and stands over there in the streets and says, I've got an look at these fans up here because all the heat rises and it stays up there. All the fans, in the middle of the winter, and the fans have the gas in the glass. In the middle of January, it's really cool. It's in a fan. But here we are in the street. Crossing ourselves all the time. We're talking about being born again. We're talking about having a second father. But the second father we have, not our physical father, it's God. God becomes our father. This is where religion is important. Religion is all about, well, if I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I read the Bible for an hour, and if I go and do this and that and the other, and God, I must do those things, all this of do's and don'ts, religion is. No, but you at all. This is the point, because well, being born again is about having God as your father, and knowing get married, and then for the rest of your married life, what is this? Born again is about a relationship between two people, between you and God. And it's a relationship which is enjoyable. It is a pleasure. No, it's not. It's a delight to know God. So we're not talking about being religious. We're talking about knowing the person. About knowing the person who made us. The person who keeps us alive. born again is not something that we can bring about ourselves. You can't go and plug yourself into the mains and zap. By the way, for the children, don't plug yourself into the mains. It might kill you. It might not. I did it once. I was 6. I survived, but it wasn't nice. It hurt. It was very unpleasant. Be very, very careful with any electricity. I don't want any of you dying as a result of hearing an illustration and saying, oh, I'll try that, don't you dare. No, there's nothing like that you can do. Not coming to a place like this, that doesn't mean that you were born again. There are some places where I say, right now, at the end of the month, and then you'll be born again. Not any of these things. God and now, this is frightening for some people. They say, I'm dependent upon God. Well, you're dependent upon God for your life. Your heart's just taken another beat, and another, and another, and another. Why? Because God has sustained your life. That's frightening. We're in. If a tramp comes and knocks on your door and asks for some food or for a drink and you give it to him, you might think that's grace. Well, to a degree it would be. He doesn't deserve it. But to understand how God is gracious to us, you have to take that same tramp and say that this tramp has already broken into your house. He's already stamped your home. He's beaten your kids and raped your wife. And then he comes to you and says, then to give him the food, that would be grace. And that is something we love, how God is gracious to us. We don't do what God requires us. We despise God, we hate him. But God still provides for us. He still gives us. He has glory to the Lord. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And here we see a gracious God who loved us that much that he sent Jesus Christ to live and to die. And in dying, Christ was punished for all the things we've done wrong. Everything we've ever done wrong, Christ was punished. In order that you don't have to be punished. But what is necessary for us to escape the punishment is to turn away from our way and trust in God to submit to him. He said some people are frightened when they think, well, I'm totally in God's hands. How am I going to be born again? Well, thankfully. The problem is not that God is unwilling. The problem is that we are unwilling. We like the money. We like the fish. Thank you. don't become born again, you don't become acceptable to God by being good. Find me that your sort of apart before the thing. So you must each one of us ask ourselves the question, am I born again? If the answer is yes, then you're causing the question. God can say good to you. But if not, then you must seek God. Our God will make this change in your life. Yourself, why did I ever think that Christianity was dull as ditch water and something to be avoided like the plague? I hope that this will be helpful to you. I hope that it will also be something that Jessica will hear and remember and act upon as she goes. Each one of us, on that day when we stand before God, give an account. We will hear God's gracious words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your Lord. That is available to all who will hear what God says and surrender to Christ.